Joining us in the studio today is Wing Commander Stuart Scott from the Royal Australian Air Force. Hello, Stuart. Welcome to Service Voices.
Good morning, Helen. Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. Now, you're involved with White Ribbon Day. First of all, let's talk about what is White Ribbon Day and then about the RAAF's involvement in it.
Thank you, Helen. White Ribbon Day is celebrated on the 25th of November each year. It's the United Nations International Day for the Prevention of Violence Against Women. In November last year, our Chief of Air Force, Air Marshal Davies, announced that Air Force will seek to gain accreditation as a White Ribbon at workplace. This will involve all Air Force members, both permanent and reserve, our APS employees and contractors. It recognises the important role that Air Force can play in our community in increasing the awareness of men's violence against women.
What do you mean by OPS employees?
APS, Australian Public Servants.
Okay. And would there be many of those on an RAAF base?
It does depend on the nature of the business at the base. Several years ago, Defence recognised that many of the roles being performed by the Australian Defence Force members, all Navy, Army and Air Force, no longer needed to be completed by uniform members. So we effectively transferred a lot of uniform tasks into public service roles. Those roles are in a lot of the non-deployable positions or positions that require long-term experience to gain high levels of expertise. They're best suited to non-posted or rotational positions, which uniforms often are.
You rolled this out a couple of years ago. How was it received by the personnel?
We started, accreditation itself is over a year. So last year it was announced by the Chief and we're looking for our assessment by White Ribbon in March. So I guess Defence, like a lot of the large organisations, we're undergoing a significant amount of change. Cultural change is one of the things that Defence is looking at. And certainly the training and the awareness programs that I've been present in reception has been quite positive. Certainly there's no lack of awareness in our organisation here at Edinburgh with respect to the devastating effect that this violence certainly impacts on families and women in particular.
How is that training structured?
Part of the Chief's direction for the Air Force was this is a command-led, command being a defence mechanism used for leading our organisations. So these briefs at the moment for initial training are delivered by commanders in the field around the bases in Australia. And then at the moment it's pretty much presentation style with questions and answers. We heavily utilise the White Ribbon content for very specific reasons for this program, and this will roll into annual awareness going forward.
You mentioned assessment coming up next March. How would you assess something like the success or otherwise of your program?
The assessment from White Ribbon will include evidence-based gathering from us, and Air Force Headquarters in Canberra are coordinating the assessment activity for us. In the field, for example, at Edinburgh, we'll be providing Air Force Headquarters with data relating to our training and our processes and policies in place locally, which we would use to address any issues that might be reported at work. Or for that matter, because this is our place in community, this is for us effectively to stand up and speak out if we see it at home or in our environment.
I very much applaud what you're doing. Is this a RAAF-specific program, or is the Army and Navy involved in a similar or the same program?
Army and Navy are accredited workplaces, and also within Air Force, our current Deputy Chief, when he was Commander AMG, did gain some workplace accreditation for our mobility group. You may have seen some Air Force aircraft flying with a white ribbon painted on the side of the aircraft. When Air Force becomes accredited as a white ribbon workplace, all three services will be white ribbon accredited.
We've talked before about subsets of violence. What is a subset of violence?
We would all be aware of a lot of community reports of violence, be it the one punch, coward punch at night or out in the streets. So we have community violence, and then I would see within there a broad set of domestic violence. And within that domestic violence, there's a specific subset the White Ribbon are addressing, in that it's men's violence against women. And whilst that is a subset, we're not saying that there isn't any other domestic violence in any way, but White Ribbon is looking very specifically, and it's data-based, statistically speaking, that men are by far the greatest perpetrators of domestic violence, and women, as a result, are the greatest sufferers of this.
How does White Ribbon differ from other organisations that aim to prevent violence against women?
White Ribbon certainly is in the prevention of men's violence against women. And on that scale, they're looking to influence policy and conduct research in the causes of men's violence against women. And I would see that as dovetailing against the tactical delivery of services after a tragic event or once it's been perpetrated. So you're looking at recovery after the event. White Ribbon is certainly looking at the research and policy drivers to try and hopefully one day not need those shelters or other tactical services.
Are you finding that men are coming forward to find out more from you?
Certainly, Helen. After each training event that I've participated in, I've had both men and women approach me. Women who have suffered domestic violence, they're women in service who have suffered, have spoken to me about their experience with it and what support was available. And I've had men that have approached me that have stepped in and or witnessed domestic violence in their communities. So certainly in our organisation at Edinburgh, there has been a great deal of trust, I guess, demonstrated by our people in being able to talk about their experiences.
It takes a great deal of trust for a victim of domestic violence to come forward.
Absolutely. One of the major points that we reiterate to our people is if a disclosure has been made to you, trust is the single biggest part of that disclosure. So we, in defence, we have quite an extensive support network, be it chaplains and padres at work. We have mental health teams in our health organisations. We have DCO family support organisations. And outside of defence specifically, there's VVCS and DVA who can provide support for our members. But yes, trust is the most significant issue here.
And there's the other aspect that I would think would be significant too, and that is people being concerned about coming forward, i.e. the victim or the perpetrator, because it may affect their career opportunities. How do you get around that problem?
So far as a victim of domestic violence stepping forward and disclosing, we do have very specific defence policy and guidelines on how we would treat victims. It's certainly a victim-centric response. The first aid, physically, mentally, for a victim is paramount, critical in that very, very first step. Also, there's elements of mandatory reporting if there's a crime, particularly if it's a crime that involves two service members. So we do have very specific internal policies for that. And notwithstanding, of course, if there's a civil crime has been committed or has been disclosed, then we will certainly bring in the local police of whichever state or jurisdiction we're in.
It's interesting to see the RAAF involved in this, and hopefully that will have some bearing on policy. Can you see policy change ahead?
I think you're right in Air Force's position. If you look at defence broadly, three services, permanent reserve, all the public servants that do work nationally and all our contractors, we are a big chunk of the Australian community. We're located in all the states. So one of the White Ribbon, I guess, cornerstones is it's good men speaking out. This is an issue about a very small minority of men. But if we're in a patriarchal society today, and that's changing every day going forward, but certainly organisations like Defence across three services will have the best possible chance of trying to influence change going forward. We are broadly part of communities, quite linked with our children's schools locally, sporting clubs. Defence members don't just sit on bases and live there and don't engage in the communities anymore. We're certainly heavily engaged in our local communities.
And those schools are an important aspect of that community, aren't they? Because they're the citizens of the future. And their views that they form today will take a long time changing in the future.
Absolutely. Helen, I've made reference in my training presentations. I have three children, a son and two daughters, and when I was coaching them as young children, 10, 12 years old, I would hear parents on the sideline and listen to some of the comments, and whilst I would be considered a fairly competitive person when I was coaching and training under 10s and 12s, I used to cringe at listening to some parents on the sideline and how competitive they can be. And you're right with respect to the age. These are models and paradigms and stereotypes are engendered at a very young age. If we're talking to 30-year-olds, we're probably 15, 16 years too late. So at school, understanding what is a good masculine model for Australia, that's part of the story.
Absolutely. I love that statement, good men speaking out. How important is that?
Oh, very. It reinforces the fact that we are talking about a minority, and this isn't an attack on manhood. This is absolutely not. This is recognising that it's a power issue. There are choices made by people who do this. Yes, good men standing up, speaking out, is going to be the cornerstone of this campaign. We recognise it is a small minority of men who do perpetrate these crimes in our society. The more good men that can and will stand up, will demonstrate moral and physical courage. That's a defence value that we hold. And respect is an Air Force value, and that's the basis of this. When I looked at some of the research for domestic violence, when I embarked on White Ribbon ambassador training with the organisation, I did see some research. And yes, there are the causes for people who perpetrate domestic violence are wide and varied. Sometimes it can be the model that you're presented with as your upbringing, and there can obviously be other, I guess, illnesses or damage in some other way. But certainly we recognise these are choices people are making, and we need to ensure people are armed with the support available if they can recognise it themselves or if someone else recognises this poor behaviour. We really do need to have people think about their actions before we have to clean up some of the consequences.
Because those consequences don't just affect the two people directly involved, the man and the woman, they reverberate through the family for years to come, don't they? The influence on the children?
Absolutely. Some of the data for Australia in research, children who are exposed to domestic violence have an increased risk in potential mental health issues, difficulties in learning and behavioural issues. In Australia, allowing children to witness domestic violence is also child abuse. So, and you think of the extended family and the community networks that are involved. We had a tragic incident about 10 minutes north of Edinburgh and back in May. A young mum and two children were murdered. And if you look at the community effect of the extended family and friends involved, it's quite shocking, and it can certainly reverberate for a very long time and a lot wider, as you say, than the two people involved.
Hmm. So, Stuart, is this just applicable to the Royal Australian Air Force in South Australia?
No, Helen. As I mentioned, the Chief's direction for Air Force is the whole Air Force. So we're talking all states and including our deployed or posted members overseas. So this is a large program, and we've got a bit of work to do internally for the accreditation process, some technical bits, if you will, but we're on track. And the Chief will be looking to be accredited by the first quarter next year.
I can see a determination there to succeed, and based on what I know about the RAAF and their efficiency, I'm sure that you will succeed in that accreditation. I really commend the RAAF for doing this. It is just so important, not just to the Air Force, but to the whole of Australia.
Thank you, Helen. Certainly very happy, very proud to be part of this process. Myself and my wife, Alison, we've both been given very good examples by our parents. We think we're providing very good examples to our children, and there are plenty of men around doing the same thing, men and women in families around Australia. We just want some more good men to stand up, speak out, and uncover this secret.
Wing Commander Stuart Scott from the RAAF and Ambassador for White Ribbon Day, thank you very much for coming on Service Voices.
Thank you, Helen.